Hello and welcome to LedgerCast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard. Here with Josh Ulswich. Hey, Josh.
Mr. Brian, how are you?
I am doing well. I wish the chart was better. I wish the prices were better. I wish my net worth was higher. But other than all those things, I'm doing great.
Yeah, it's brutal. It is absolutely brutal. Any and every bounce has been just smacked down very quickly.
Smacked down. But you know what? I might as well shill my own product. Go to flip.xyz. You can check out everything you need in the NFT market directly on flip.xyz. And you can follow stuff. Make it personal to you. Understand exactly what's going on within the ecosystem. It's awesome. It is awesome. You can check out your beans. You can check out your performance of realized profits.
I actually looked at the beans last night. I hadn't seen those before.
Have you been bean hunting?
I wouldn't say hunting, but
I like the beans.
We like the beans.
Yeah, they're cute. People were like, I wonder what the beans will be. The result, they're beans. So here we go. I can say, boom, followed. And then it goes right into my followed collections. You can explore all of the attributes of these NFT collections. We're increasing our support as we go. So for instance, if you want to look at all the water, fire, lightning, earth, spirit beans, you want the elite bean body types, then you can check out the market. Cheapest one right now is 28 ETH. I shared a screenshot of this yesterday with a spirit bean at 8.5 ETH. I didn't buy it because I was like, I'm going to share the screenshot. Let somebody else check it out. Find that deal. Nope. The seller noticed it first and changed their price to 100 ETH. So now you got to pay up. But anyway, I like the beans. I think they are so cute. Look at this. You can get a pinto.
Are they 35 ETH cute though? You know, I was trying to explain a metaverse and NFTs to my brother last night, and it was quite the conversation.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. 35 ETH or not, that's your choice to figure out. You can also see here where you can check out people's performance for their sales and activity. The ones that are infinity is when someone just sold the airdrop claim. But if it has been transacted more than once, you can see exactly what they made, percentage, ETH and dollars, etc. And you can say, well, who is this interesting person? I need to follow them and view their wallet. Ah, look at that. They've realized 40 ETH profits. What do they own? All kinds of stuff right here on Flip. Go to flip.xyz, native mobile apps as well. We're going to have a notifications ecosystem up pretty soon that I'm excited about. So anyway, that's enough shilling my own bag, but I just want to share it with you because I'm proud of our product and you should be using it every day.
Ron Popeil would be so happy that that commercial was that long. Is he alive? Is he with us today? Ron Popeil?
Yeah, I don't
know. He's a famous infomercial guy.
He's
where set and forget it comes from with the rotisserie chicken.
Oh, really? That's cool. See, I was not shilling a commercial. I was just telling you what I think about and work on every single day.
That's fair.
What kind of premium features our app is and will be free. There's many business models that we find very interesting for the future once we have millions of users. But in the meantime, take it up. Enjoy it.
Hey, as long as it's not a token, you know. Not advice, not legal advice or financial advice, but please don't be a token.
That's we pull from LooksRare and OpenSea order books, and we'll have more coming very soon. But we actually show sales for a bunch of marketplaces for the people that are asking. So if you go to the sales view, you can see where they're popping up from, X2, Y2, or whatever, LooksRare. You can see when it passes through a smart contract like Gem or Genie, NFT Trader. Here's a fun one, Josh. You'll like this.
It's
a relevant piece of news. You can see all the transactions that are occurring on the Coinbase contract.
Okay, I do like that because it's basically a ghost town, right?
It's been pretty small. Yeah, this is a handful of transactions per day. Mm-hmm. I think they've had a couple hundred active users or something like that, and small number of people actually buying. But part of the problem is, and when you look at their sales, like they're mostly like sub one ETH transactions. I think the people interested in OpenSea are largely interested because they can't, like, they can't justify going on chain doing a bunch of 10 ETH stuff. So I think as they open up more like affordable NFTs, more the centralized side of their product, I think it'll actually perform much better. So I think it's a little psyops right now in terms of people saying it's a ghost town. It's because like that market is not really for the traditional ETH based on chain market, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, here nor there, but Coinbase.
Well, our NFTs, the last hurrah before the core, before Goblin Town,
before global,
you know, because NFTs. Like, there was all these articles this week about NFTs dying and blah blah blah. I'm like, no, they're not. Are you paying attention? Massive. Exactly. It's the only thing in crypto that's actually like doing something right now.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, there is no good asset except the dollar. Literally, the U.S. dollar is the only thing in the entire world performing worth a crap.
Man, that thing is just,
look at that parabola, just full force.
You can't hear that leaf blower, can you?
I can. But it's not that bad.
Well, it's annoying for me, so I can only imagine what it is for the listener.
Yeah. Well, the Dixie is on a weekly parabolic rise of incredible magnitude. And honestly, it doesn't seem like we're going to have a terrible amount of relief until this stops. So it's the only chart that matters, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah. I mean, people were asking me, people being journalists, asking Valkyrie. I work for Valkyrie, by the way. I don't say that enough on here, but go check us out. We just had a product approved by the SEC.
Nice.
I think it's a ways out from being realized exactly. And I can't say much more than that, but, you know, we're doing stuff and things, guys. So go check us out. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So people were asking, like, what's going on, right? Because we went up and down. You know, my response was the same for both parties in that we're just correlated to legacy completely here.
Completely.
There's no disconnection whatsoever. There were attempts months ago, weeks ago, but all that is gone now. We're at all-time highs for every single time frame against the SPX, BTC versus SPX. Just the correlations have never been higher. 30, 60, 90, 180, 365. So until that breaks, it's going to act just like this S&P. It's going to act inverse to the DXY, inverse to the VIX, just the way it is.
And this is pretty gross.
I mean, how many red weeklies is that?
A lot.
How common is that for the S&P?
Very uncommon. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the fifth in a row. Hadn't closed yet, but it's darn close. That's very rare. Actually,
it has to be like less than a handful. Less than a handful of those.
No, not even in 2011. I think it was the Great Recession, kind of this territory. That's pretty bad.
So Salbeth, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that in the chat, is asking why we're so connected to the correlation. I think two reasons. One, China's gone. So the like major power trading this isn't really anybody else but the US. You know, you could argue Europe and other countries. And you could argue some of the Chinese players are still here just trading through other vehicles, right? Not necessarily Chinese exchanges, but maybe Binance or wherever else. I think that's a big part of it. So, you know, who's left that has money trading this is the US. And then the second is obviously institutional players coming in, entities who have paying attention to this more and more, treating it as risk on more and more, and trading it like risk on more and more. So that's really what you're seeing, I think. Yeah. Especially with, when you look at, we talked about this in the pre-show, but when you look at US Open, that 9 a.m. EST candle, mm-hmm. right? It, for the past, I don't know, month, maybe even before that, it's just been down every day on open, like clockwork. So it's getting to the point, I think, where not only are some entities just selling, like TWAPing out daily, there's probably also just pile on shorts and bots just saying, yeah, this is a sure thing. Let's do it, right?
Yeah. So And it's where all the volume is aggregating, which doesn't help any.
No.
I just pulled up this monthly S&P chart, which is pretty interesting because past recessions, like, you know, there were lots of cracks in the economy in 2007, 2008, but the majority of the down move in the stock market happened in 3 months, three monthly candles. It was a little more of a grind in the 2000 market where it finally capitulated in 2002. Doesn't mean it has to repeat. Two monthly candles during the COVID rubber band recession. So if we go full recession, like, there's nothing that actually means stops us from basically pricing in a full down move of a recession all in 2022. And, you know, if you just sit out for the rest of the year, like, if we go full recession, it'll probably price most of it in sometime during that year and just kind of wait for 2023. Would be just a thought there.
I think no matter what happens, you need a plan as a person or party in crypto, you know, because what you don't want to do is watch this thing potentially drip down lower and lower and lower and then panic at the bottom, which is what typically happens with people, right? Like, if your plan is buy lower, then do it. If your plan is to sell on the way down, then do it. If your plan is to just hold through everything and do nothing, then do it, right? Like, just have a plan and stick to it. That's my best advice for people as somebody who's lived through 2014 and 2015 in BTC and watched BTC go to 250 and bought on Coinbase. Okay, not a brag. I'm just saying, like, that was the plan. The plan was to buy for me in that case. Just keep buying. So that's what I did, right?
Yeah.
So have a plan.
Lived through 2018, 19.
Lived through that as well, yeah. I mean, it's funny because the 2017 plan was, I'm not selling any of this because I know my tax burden is going to be absolutely insane. So that was my plan, you know? So I ate a lot of that drawdown because I just didn't want to pay taxes. I said no. So not because I didn't pay taxes, but because I didn't want to incur that taxable event or whatever. So, you know, that was my plan, so I stuck to it, right? So just be honest with yourself. Because things might get really ugly here, you know, as I'm seeing more and more miners, let's say, or whales in general, talking about, like, their levels, their pain points is, you know, price-wise, whether it's in the 20s or sub-20s or whatever, right? We're going to start seeing and stressing those people who have been in since early 2021.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still very profitable for miners, but what if it becomes less profitable? A couple other things in legacy that are just fascinating is, I mean, ARK completely retraced everything pre and post COVID from this consolidation they had, not quite at the COVID lows, which were 32, but I mean, this thing went to 157, it's at 46 now. Of course, Kathy, crypto darling of sorts, 72% top to bottom so far, really brutal, total Eiffel Tower type of move. Yeah. So,
yeah, that is breathtaking. You know, it's stuff like that. Like, the Nasdaq's down 23%, 24% from highs. And you compare this to 2018, where we're just consolidating into the abyss eventually, right? And from, like, top to bottom there, the Nasdaq took a 24% dive. So we're already down 24% on Nasdaq. So, yeah. You know, I had to ask myself this week, am I too bearish? Because legacy already sort of has collapsed a little bit, but at the same time, you look at legacy and you think maybe this keeps going, you know. So
yeah,
it's hard to be comfortable here and say, like, yeah, this is a good place to buy.
There's this massive list of stocks that are down 75% or more, massive. Yeah. List like Zoom and, you know, basically everything that was awesome during COVID is not awesome now. But then you look at the NASDAQ, it's down 24%, but on a chart basis, it 4X'd when it went to an all-time high. So it didn't make a new high for 16 years, and then it went 4X in 5 years. So, like, it doesn't look like that much of a move down relative to that. So the question is, like, well, what could it go to? How much room is left? And trying to figure out what would a reasonable top to bottom be? Well, 60%. as an example, would be like really brutal. 50, and that's basically if it went back to COVID lows, which individual stocks have already done. But if the actual NASDAQ went down 60% and retapped COVID lows, that would be really brutal. It would have a mean we have a long way that we could still go that we're not expecting. That'd be another be cutting your portfolio in half if you were just in the index. And then do those stocks in that scenario go down 90-95%? You know, like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, watching us watching us reverse every single pop and then watching us drip down lower slowly every day, it's just not a good feeling for somebody if you're in this market in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Nevertheless, let's get to the crypto side of things. But to your point, like, all of it's correlated. One more monthly chart for you is just the Dixie one, where all of that massive range looks like some kind of consolidation, and you know. Next move, the next path up is 120-ish, 115 to 120. So that, to think there's another 15-20% upside in the dollar is terrifying, especially when you look at all the relative pairs, the JPY, the euro, they look terrible. That's 2/3 of the index right there. So they look terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we're hyper-focused on crypto because we're in the industry and that's what we do. But, you know, if Dixie goes to 120, there's bigger problems than the crypto dying, right? Like,
really, really big problems, like big global problems in that scenario.
Yeah.
Not to mention, like, the impact on just rates in general. If they go too high, like, the impact on debt service from the increases in rates is pretty significant. Anyway, there's all kinds of macro stuff that you can look at. This trend line is probably the most fascinating to me. Like, if you just look at this kind of, you don't have to do it directly, just as a trend, the line itself, over decades, it looks like it's kind of bucking it, you know, like there was this capitulation to the downside and now it's like turbo to the upside.
You're talking about the 30-year?
Yeah, the 30-year yield.
Yeah, I mean, it looks worse and worse every week, right? Like, it hasn't looked better since, I don't know, January? Like, that's the other issue, is like, is everyone too bearish? You know, everybody's bearish.
I think a lot of people are still in, you know?
I don't know a single person who's realistic about markets and is a serious person who isn't super bearish.
Yeah,
you know, so is that the crowded trade right now?
I think it's a crowded sentiment, not necessarily a crowded trade. Like, how many people move to cash versus just sitting there on their wrecked bags?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, oil's starting to look really strong again off consolidation. Gold totally puked and now looks like it's just in a chop fest.
Yeah, where's the gold? Where's your gold standard here?
You know, yeah, gold should be $3,000.
Gold was, you were the chosen one, gold. What happened? Like, you look at that chart, how are you not disappointed? I know we talk about this every week, but if you're a gold bug, how are you not disappointed? No,
they are disappointed.
I don't know. That chart looks like a broken cup and handle now.
All right, Bitcoin, is there anything that it can do to look, what would make it look bullish? What level does it have to recapture, clear? Is there a moving average that we can look at? Is
there? There's two charts, maybe three. There's two charts, maybe three, maybe four, depending on if you want to go down the cloud route. Weekly cloud is definitely very concerning here, because as we dip below the weekly cloud for the first time since, what, 2020?
Yeah.
It's a very simple litmus test for trend. If you know nothing about the cloud, know this. If we're above it, we're bullish. If we're below it, we're bearish. It doesn't necessarily mean continuation one way or the other, but it does suggest that if we break below, we're going lower. So that's one chart to pay attention to. Second chart is Bollinger Bands, which I have up on my screen, but
Your screen's they, not being shared, by the way.
Oh, my bad. My bad, dog.
That's why I wasn't sharing it.
No, I didn't even realize. Older bands, which are the tightest they've been since 2019, right? 2018, you know, very similar vibes. That was, looking back on that now, it's easier to say how bearish that was because we were below the 20 week for so many weeks, but the 20 week MA, we're going on our third week below the 20 week MA at this caliber of a squeeze. All this just means we tighten and then we expand rapidly. So we're in that transition phase right now.
Waiting on the expansion.
So to your question though, like where does this look good? When it's back above the 20 week, which is at 41.3 right now.
Poufant asks, what about the 2 year MA?
Well, that's the other chart, of the four that you can look at aside from the daily and weekly cloud. So Bollinger Bands say it's time to pay attention soon, and it leans bearish, has leaned bearish for 3 weeks, probably sees a resolution soon. The second chart is the 2 year MA with the 200 week moving average, which in this case is the 1400 on the daily. These combined have given you a really good picture as far as DCA zone. Not financial advice, right? This can always go lower, but
your tab is not working well for me for some reason.
Okay.
Let's share the new tab if it's in a different tab.
Yeah, it is, but that's okay. Sorry.
That's all right. I'll put my screen up for now.
Let's do this one. How about that?
There it is.
Yeah, so 200 week MA. We bounced from that. Even in COVID times, we bounced from that. 2015, we bounced from that. 2014, we bounced from that. 2018, we bounced from that. So that's really the do or die level. I hate to say it like that, but that's the level to watch. We are entering the DCA zone today, tomorrow, this week, next week. As we
turn on your buys and wait.
As we dip below 36. Doesn't give you a guarantee either as far as duration. Like we could be in there for a year, 2 years, I don't know. But historically it's worked out.
Have you looked at Bollinger Bands but for the S&P? Because I find that chart interesting.
Oh man. It's so you know that is unlike BTC in that it has an active B band expansion, right? The move is happening right now. Right. And it could double you out,
right?
But I doubt it.
I think this is kind of the technical setup for a Bollinger Band double bottom, isn't it? Like, isn't a B band bottom based on where it touches the band, not so much where the level is?
Yeah. So the B band W is touching the midpoint and then touching the bottom twice.
Gotcha.
So this would have to.
It would have to reverse
recover. You. Yeah. Yeah.
It's in a bearish expansion in the meantime.
Yeah, that, you know, just like it was bullish in 2021 where it was walking up the bands, it's doing the opposite now, walking down.
Yep.
That's the trend for sure.
Yay. What else do we have?
So, well, the 200 a week is currently at 22K-ish, 21.7. The other chart that I think is worth watching is MVRV, which I've talked about a bunch, but not recently. I got to pull it up on a different thing. Sorry.
All right. There's a little tab that you can say, share this tab instead.
I know. I don't see that tab on, or I don't see that button like I do on Zoom. So this is MVRV, a measure of market cap versus on-chain activity, basically. And historically, all the highs have been above 7, according to this indicator. All the lows have been basically 0 or less. For the most part, we've sort of cruised in the oversold area for quite some time. Just like the 2-year moving average multiplier, same sort of thing. And that's currently much lower, you know, than it is now. So I think we got a ways to go,
yeah,
but definitely something to watch.
Saying don't get too excited.
Because the realized cap right now is $465 billion market cap based on on-chain activity.
I've been asked, what about the ETH BTC chart? How's it look? It is still in kind of this long-term compression. Anything to read of it, or is it still the least favorite chart for you?
I would say least favorite, but yeah, it's definitely compressing it.
Those bands are starting to tighten really aggressively. They asked specifically about Bollinger Bands there.
It doesn't look like there's a trade anytime super soon there.
Yeah.
Especially if BTC nukes or, you know, things get bearish. It'll be interesting to see how ETH reacts to that. But this could, like, just go sideways until, like, November, right?
Which is the hard part. It makes it difficult to trade.
I think people are going to trade the merge, obviously, off of that news or whatever, you know, happens in that regard. And we can talk about emissions and blah, 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 lock up, burn, whatever, right? Pump fundamentals. All that stuff's going to be fine. That's why I think the ETH BTC chart, it should do well. Yeah, it has news. It has fundamentals. Technicals look great, right? Like in a vacuum. So yeah, this looks like an ascending triangle. This looks like it's going to go higher.
Yeah. Have you ventured into altcoin land, or what do you think? I mean, everything looks really wrecked from my point of view, but
yeah, I mean, I'm certainly watching a lot of stuff. I haven't taken any trades in anything, but I'm definitely watching a lot of stuff. I don't think it's, some of the stuff looks bad, but I don't think it looks bad enough to buy just yet for me.
You see that the ApeCoin already had a 50% correction after the land launch.
Yeah, I mean, this is every single altcoin that's ever launched in the existence of altcoins. Okay, so, you know, this is why when people bring up flavor of the week crap to me, I'm just roll my eyes, because this is not my game, you know? If you made money and traded this, congrats. If you have bought a Bored Ape and whatever, congrats, but it's just not for me.
Solana as our layer one showcase of choice. Basically back at the lows and looking very weak. Looks like a fully bearish retest back a few weeks ago, and now sitting here at $80 and looking like it wants to take an elevator to me, but maybe I'm mistaken. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that looks like an inverted cup and handle. It looks like it wants to go back to the previous order block, if you want to think about it like that, from like, what, 20 to 40, 20 to 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I was like, I drew that range.
26 to 47. There you go. There's where I'd feel comfortable getting back into that personally before, just blindly, you know, not knowing what's going to happen, but having an expectation of where it might go. Yeah. A few more downtimes and we might be there.
Is there anything standing out from that similar type of look? I mean, Adam looks
Monero. People are talking about Monero in the chat. Monero has done well. Tron was up like 6% today for some reason. Of all things,
I choose to ignore anything Tron.
Okay. But yeah, Monero's up like 3% today, I think. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, everything looks not great, right? Like, where do you go? Where do you go in times like this? Bonds are dumping, legacy's dumping, crypto's dumping, real estate's probably looks in trouble. I don't know. I'm not an expert there.
Well, the rate issue is having an impact, or going to have an impact on real estate markets. Yeah, Monero looks like it's just doing its thing. Hadn't made any 2017 relative highs, but I mean, overall looks relatively good.
Yeah, it looks fine. You know, it's not at lows like everything else is right now.
Yeah. Well, what do you?
I don't even know, right? Like, yeah. This is why it's the time to like plan stuff out, put some stink bids on some alts that like Sushi's at like $2 or something. Did you see that?
$2.25.
Like, what does that chart look like, right? Like, these are the charts. I want, like, distressed assets. You know, this is the type of stuff. Maybe it gets emitted out of it into oblivion. Like, maybe this just goes to like 50 cents or less. I don't know. But at some point, somebody's going to think that this is a buy.
Yeah, I think, you know? Well, Sushi has kind of its own problems, but even Uniswap is at 750, you know, after a high of 44.
Yeah.
And Uniswap certainly doesn't have the same kind of drama that Sushi's had. That said, like, if you look back at where it launched, had weekly consolidation in late 2020, it could go to $4 to $5, you know, so you get another 40% nuke off this to get into that block. That's certainly possible. That would also be 90, 95% off its highs. These are the types of things, though, if you get them and you get them at the lows and then you're patient, they're probably life-changing entries, you know. Eventually, I think some of those have 10x plus upside.
I think if you're buying anything in the next 3 months, you have to be super patient. Take a long time horizon. You know, don't bet your lunch. Don't bet your rent money, that sort of thing. Just be smart about it and just wait. You know, become an investor.
Margella says we need more altcoins to die.
You know, Margella, I have to agree with you. I was going down the list and I was having an existential crisis based on market cap, thinking, what the hell is this stuff and why is it above $1 billion market cap? I don't understand.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I encourage everybody to go to that market cap list and with an honest face, tell me that you know most of that stuff on that list, because I'm sure you don't. It's just, what is this stuff that's supposedly worth all this money? I don't even know what it does. Well, yeah, things look... That's why I think dominance goes up in this environment. Bitcoin dominance, that's the one thing that probably gains strength here as alts sort of collapse harder than BTC.
This monthly chart with the 20-month moving average is pretty brutal. That was where the 2018 capitulation happened. We're under it.
Yeah, where do you think ETHUSD goes? That's one thing I haven't really... I think 1800 easy, but it's on, you know, 2021 range. But I don't have any thoughts as far as like BTC, I can pick a level, I can pick a zone and say, yeah, I'm super confident. Like, that's where I want to figure things out. But for ETH, yeah, I'm not so sure.
I think if I did it next week, like if you just... I'm going to play the 200-week moving average, just like I've always done. That's at 1175 right now, so ETH
12. 1175?
Yep.
Oh!
Yep. That would be a buy of a lifetime to me. That's minus 56% from here. That's going to continue to move up. Like, if you just...
I mean, that's starting to look like... It's gone from Adam and Eve to Head and Shoulders to just nothing good.
Yeah, I think it would probably take some time, but let's say we bought them sometime this year. You could get, I could believe 1400, where that's lining up with the 200 week, if we're going to play Doomer scenarios.
Again. Well, the yearly pivot is at 13, so that I can get behind.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, people are really nervous worldwide. So, like, you have to throw your good price type of stuff kind of out the window until the macro aligns with you whatsoever. And until it doesn't, then the only thing I'm going to point out is the 200 week as something that could stand up. Everything else is on the table. I personally really struggle with these lows that were, like, you know, liquidity punches sub 30K so many times as working again when we're only like 12% away from that. You know, that's one bad day away from those same levels, 30K Bitcoin, that it makes me think if we go down there again, we're going way lower. We're going to go punch the 200 and it's going to hurt. It's going to be, you know, people feeling wrecked now and then they're down another 50%.
Yeah, ETH's weekly cloud is at 22 as far as the support. The daily cloud is... 31-ish as far as resistance. There's a yearly pivot at 30 or 3K. So anything for ETH above 3K, I think, is good as far as, you know, trading lens is concerned, for me, and BTC 42. But Yeah, I mean, I like 18 or less, certainly, for ETH. But man,
it would hurt.
That's rough.
I mean, being on the sidelines is hard. I've been on the sidelines several times since this market topped. It's really easy to get lured back in. So waiting it out is a skill.
Well, look at volume. Volume's still kind of flat. You know, we haven't seen that
the spike
euphoria emotion type volume.
Well, you mean, or the capitulatory version of it.
Yeah, capitulation, fear, people not having a plan, selling the bottle. Just saying, have a plan.
Yeah. Looks bad. Sorry to be doomers.
I don't know in this current point in time how anybody can be super bullish near term. Of course we're bullish long term. That's why we're here. That's why we've been here. But, man, that's ugly. What percentage does eBTC gain ground in that scenario? That's the question.
It could with the merge.
I think it will. Whether or not it actually does, I don't know.
I mean, we've talked about that before. Like ETH, I know Kobe mentioned this a bunch, but like if ETH is 2,500 and Bitcoin's at 25,000, it's 0.1. You know, certainly possible.
Yeah, but I don't think ETH holds up at 2,500. That's the thing.
It's probably a bounce, right? Like,
I don't even think ETH holds at 25 if BTC breaks 30. You know.
Yeah.
I think all this stuff just gets ugly super quick.
Well,
it's going to be an issue. It's going to be a problem. Some things are going to explode. I think that's why I think Terra's in trouble. You know, if we get on a list of the risk curve, anything algorithmic is going to be in trouble for sure.
This chart puts lots of things in trouble. I can't pay attention to anything else. The stupid Dixie, which looks like it could top any moment because it's parabolic to the upside. But
yeah, what is that, week 5 or 6 for a green candle on the DXY?
Yeah, and it's painful. We're feeling it. And what could happen is this temporarily tops, consolidates, and everything recovers a little bit and then nukes, but while everyone's complacent again. Like, what if BTC goes to 40K, ETH goes to 3K, alts start to recover a little bit, all just the dollar consolidating, and then you get the nuke, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the bullish viewpoint, I guess, is the resiliency we've had thus far, but yeah. we're running out of road here for sure.
Someone asked, should I get out of UST? We are not financial advisors, but it's an algorithmic stablecoin, and there are risks with algorithmic stablecoins that are worth considering.
I don't want anything to fail. I don't want people to lose money. But at the same time, all the evidence that's ever been presented to us has been, in the times of stress, algorithmic stablecoins typically unravel. So
at least temporarily.
Keep that in mind. Right. At least temporarily.
Like if UST goes from $1 to 85 cents, and that's also the same time that you need UST, then you're taking a 15% haircut when you don't want it. So that's could be tough. Not to say it's a guarantee that's going to happen that way, but it could.
But hey, have a plan, right? If it goes to, if your plan is if it drops below 90 and you're not selling, then don't panic at 85, right?
Like, that I still have this old chart with Coinbase at $15 trend line. Seems like a reasonable target, $15.
It's funny though, when I go back and think about like ETH at those prices in those years, you know, ETH wasn't the powerhouse it is now. It wasn't necessarily the viewpoint that it was going to be the powerhouse. It was just like this ICO playground at the time, right?
But a lot of people were pointing to $50, $15, whatever, back when it was bottoming, like sub 100. You're like, where's the stop? There's nowhere to go. It's going to zero. It's going back to $15, and then it bottoms. So it doesn't have to stop in a perfect place. It could just stop where there ends up being some kind of inherent demand.
Yeah, I mean, hey, NFTs are still there. Maybe that's why ETH is doing so well.
Jack says in the chat, I remember being scared to buy ETH at $100. It was scary.
It's never going to feel great when this stuff's down percentages. It could be down, you know, again, you just got to have a plan, folks. Have a plan. If your bids are lower, don't move them up. If you know you they don't get hit, just have a plan. Not investment advice. Trade your own book, blah, blah, blah. But have a plan.
I have nothing else to add. We might as well end the show.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out my perfect plan. I know that, like, this, in a vacuum, this chart tells me not to be in. Every chart tells me not to be in. So I probably shouldn't be in.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing that, nothing looks bad enough to buy on the majors for me because of the potential lows. And alts, I think I could just get alts just completely slaughtered, you know. So take that for what it's worth. But hey, I'm happy to be wrong.
Yeah. All right, we got to ask Shozy BTC, so here it is. I have no commentary.
Oh, boy.
I hadn't done anything in 2 years. So
I was going through the nodes, seeing how many nodes each coin has. Zeke has like less than 300 nodes.
Seems like not very many.
No.
All right. Thanks for being here, everybody. We're just going to let it roll.
Yeah.
Have a plan.
Touch grass, go outside.
Talk to you later. Go follow Josh, Carpe Noctum, YouTube, whatever. See you later. In the blink of an eye, the easy river has just run dry.